This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Cap Denny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
Now, the reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the Outdoor Show this morning is Jace. Our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, the Belleville Meat Market, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, looking at weather, 62 degrees down on the island this morning in Galveston. It's looking like clouds early, mostly sunny skies, along with windy conditions this afternoon. Those east winds will be picking up to about 20 to 30 miles per hour. Looks like it's about 10 to 15 right now with a high of 68 tonight. They're calling for some showers, mainly late, with a low of 62, east-southeast 15 to 25. And they're throwing about a 40% chance of rain on that. Higher wind gusts are possible. And then for tomorrow, cloudy, slight chance of rain shower, maybe 20%, maybe. High around 70, southeast winds 15 to 25 miles per hour. So it's like a couple of windy days ahead of us here. It's been so nice. I don't even think the bay had a ripple on it yesterday, as far as I could see from my house. Just crazy. Unreal. All right, looking at tides for today. These are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have four of them. We have a high coming up at 6 a.m., a 1.2. A low at 11:54 a.m. at 0.4, a high at 5:28 p.m. at 0.9, and then a low at 11:59 p.m. a negative 0.2. 6:43 a.m. will be our sunrise this morning. 6:19 p.m. sunset. Moon phase 4% coming off that new moon. And looking around, looks like it's east at 13 at the North Jetty there in Galveston. 10 at the old rollover site. Looks like it's about 7 down at San Luis Pass. It's east-northeast at 8 at Eagle Point, and up at Morgan's Point looks like about 6 miles per hour. So winds are down for now, but they are calling for them to come up considerably. So anyway, that's your weather and forecast, and whatever it's worth, make the most of it. And happy Sunday to everybody. It's going to be a nice day. All right. Let's go down to the Tri-Bay area. Let's check in with the old hammer this morning, Captain Glenn Hammond, see what he's up to. Glenn, good morning. What's going on?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. Not too much this morning, buddy. How are you?
Oh, I'm here. One more day.
Nope. No fog. Clear in the area. And shoot, man, we had yesterday afternoon, we had some thick traffic down here, and I got a feeling it had something to do with the Mardi Gras.
You think?
They must have stayed down here and drove that away. But anyway, there was a lot of traffic coming down this way anyway.
So well, plus it was a pretty weekend, too.
Beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. I got to get out with my family yesterday. I had my nephew and his wife, and then I had my wife with me. And we just went out to – we were actually just going to go out and throw some lures and – if we seen any crab, you know, yesterday was that crab trap cleanup deal. So I knew where a couple of them were in the old intercoastal canal and up in the weeds. And I had seen them before, and I just wanted to see if somebody had picked them up. And sure enough, they didn't. So right, be- you know, we fished, and then right before we left, we picked it up, put it in the boat, and brought it to the house. And today I'm going to go down and take it to San Luis Pass. They got some big dumpsters down there to throw them all in. And if anybody, you know, is listening and they found an old trap or something, that's what you can do with it. There's several drop-off stations. But the main thing is getting those things out of the bay and keeping from killing and tearing up your boat and stuff. But no, we got very light winds down here this morning, Captain Mickey. It looks like 5 miles an hour out of the east.
Yeah, my deal said 7, so we were close again.
Mm-hmm. We're close, and 61 degrees down here in Surfside. Very nice day on the bay. I mean, like you said, there was we had a light north wind yesterday morning when we got out. We fished from about 7 to 11, and maybe even 10:30 we might have got off. But anyway, it was slow. It was like pulling teeth. It was real slow, throwing different colors of soft plastic. And, you know, the last time him and I fished together about 2 weeks ago, and I never caught a fish. I got my butt handed to me that day. I mean, yesterday I came alive a little bit. I caught 8 fish and he only caught 6. But it was friendly competition, and he caught, you know, there were small fish. A lot of small fish. I think we had probably 3 fish out of all of those that would have went into the box, but we wasn't keeping. We were just catching, so we let them go The water was really, really nice, and it was going out the whole time we was out there. The tide was still going out yesterday morning, so that's where we have those real long outgoing tides, which is usually my best. I always do better on an outgoing than I do on an incoming, and it just depends on where you're fishing, what part of the bay system. But over in our little old bay system, use any kind of tide you can get. You just go when you can, when the water clears up. But the ocean was beautiful. Went to the jetties. It was, everything was good. There was people everywhere. Of course, it's Saturday, and just a nice time of year. You know, I thought we were going to smack them with the water being as clean as it was and a good outgoing tide. And the bite just wasn't there. It just wasn't there. We little peck here and a peck there, but. And then the ones we'd catch would be like little 14-inch trout, and he caught a couple of 16-inch redfish, you know, so we had that to mix in. I did catch one little baby flounder about 10 inches long, and they carefully put that little booger back in. He was spotted as could be. You could tell he was laying on that oyster shell.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how their skin adapts to. If they're on sand, they turn light brown. If they're on mud, they turn almost black.
Almost like chameleons.
People don't know that, but those flounders, they change colors.
Well, trout and redfish do too. You know, it depends on the water, water clarity they're in or density and all that. They get vibrant colors in that clear water, and then they dull out in dirtier water.
You should have seen this little old flounder. The worm I was using was almost as long as the flounder was. But anyway, it was small fish, and it was a great boat ride. We had a big time, man. It's
flounder are crazy fish.
Just being like, yeah, it
they
is.
They have such a little tiny small stomach cavity, and they try to eat big things.
Right. Yeah, they do. You know, that's another thing. Hardly we did see some bait, a little bit more. But you know, the bait was. I mean, the water temperature was like 62. I think my neighbor said he caught 61 or whatever.
Yeah.
So somewhere between 61 and 63 degrees. She's coming on up, and I thought we were really going to whack them yesterday, and it just didn't happen. It never materialized. But it was fun. It was fun. It was just enough bite. You know what I mean? Put some smiles on some faces, and we wouldn't keep it anyway. So, but anyway, I looked around, and there was people at the jetties, and people they came out of the woodwork yesterday, and especially late in the afternoon. Like I said, I think that was all traffic that wanted to come this way and go to Galveston instead of going down you know, straight down 45 into town
or
whatever.
45 is a nightmare.
Take them. I know we used to do that Mardi Gras, and it just got too crowded. I mean, it just, you said you couldn't, And then I heard the fishing show was the same way on Saturday. It was elbow to elbow.
Yeah.
This past Saturday, not yesterday, but last Saturday.
Right.
The fishing show, and it was elbow to elbow on Saturday. I had some friends went up there, and he said, man, it was stacked. I mean, you couldn't get another person in that place. People out and about, people wanting to do their thing, buy some new tackle and look at all the new stuff on the line. I got bags of it. Somebody says, you need some plastic worms? I go, no, I don't need any.
No.
I got, you know what I mean? I just go dig in a drawer somewhere and pull out a bag. And oh, I forgot I had these. It didn't matter what color we threw. We went through the bag, and I ended up using a roach color. It was a black on top with
kind of tequila gold, glitter goldish underneath. Yeah.
Yeah, tequila gold on the bottom and then black on the top. I love that roach color. And the fish seem to love it too down here in this area anyway. But I had a buddy that went over to Chocolate Bay, and he went around the bay system, and it was slow everywhere they went. Now, they used live bait. One boat out of three boats came in with, they kept fish. He kept two reds and two trout, and they caught them on live shrimp.
Right.
And that was about the only other fishing report I heard. My other neighbor, nothing.
Surprised y'all aren't catching just more drum over your way. Man, everybody's catching a lot of pup drum right now. You know, the live baiters? I mean, they're nuking them.
Mm-hmm. Well,
sheephead.
They're fighting little boogaroo. I know that. And good table fare. You can get, they're just a lot of bone there to get that little bitty fillet off of. I mean, good luck. Watch your knuckles. I know cleaning sheephead and drum is your, they're knuckle busters, buddy. They are those fins,
especially sheephead.
I've had those things in my knuckles so many times. I mean, just slip one time in your. But anyway, for the size of the fish, you get a little bitty fillet off it. What'd you get?
Yeah, you know, you don't get much meat off of it. You look at the size of the carcass and go, man, that's all I got off that fish.
I know. You feel kind of weird, like you're wasting a big old fish just for a little piece of meat. But you know,
that's why people like trout. You get more bang for your buck, you know.
Right, right. Well, it wasn't. Maybe we should have been throwing. I looked around. I seen one guy throwing top water out of a boat. He wasn't waiting. There was quite a few waders there. There was boats. Oh, man. There was kayaks and boats everywhere yesterday. And the boats, the guys were out of the boats and waiting. So, man, and it's a mucky area to wade down there. It's not a hard sand bottom. I mean, you're heavily mistaken if you think you're going to come down here and have some ice cream wading conditions. You go onto the beach? Yes, maybe. But in our bays, this is the stinkiest, blackest, muckiest old mud you can. I mean, I've told you, I ripped off a pair of my waders. My leg was stuck, and I went to lift it up out of the mud, and the whole leg tore off of the wader.
Oh, boy.
It's some mucky stuff. You don't want to get in it. You don't want to get in it at all. It doesn't come off of anything very easy. But I got her all washed up, and I'm just going to sit around today. I don't know. Astro preseason, you know, I think they played the game yesterday. I don't know what they did. But
they got smoked.
Anyway, start watching a little baseball.
I think it was 9-2 or something like that.
Well, it's just, was that on the Astros' favor?
You know, they're hitting home runs off of pitchers. It'll be bagging groceries in a couple of weeks. I mean, it's not real major league ball to me. I'm waiting on the regular season.
Well, I got in last night and barbecued a rack of ribs and steamed them for about 2 hours, you know, in foil and barbecue sauce. And oh, they melted in your mouth. The bone slid right out of there last night. Man, oh, man, barbecued ribs for dinner. Shoot, I don't even remember going to bed. I think it was about 8 o'clock, 8:30.
Yeah.
But lots of rest last night. And anyway, if you're coming in our area, the bait camps are holding bait. And I looked around the system yesterday, and they've got white flags flying. So if you get here early, you'll be able to get you some live shrimp at several different bait camps. And that's about all I know on this.
All right, Hammer. All right, buddy. Throw them out a number, man.
Yes, sir. 713-208-0683, man. Y'all have a great day, and I appreciate you guys.
We'll do it. You too, Glenn. See you, man. All right. Well, folks, if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. They have a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery. There's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item or can't wait on long deliveries, their sales team, with over 100 years of combined experience, is here to support you from start to finish, whether it's a 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction. Allied has you covered. Remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. Let them handle it for you. Call them at 281-332-6224 or sales at alliedinc.com. Spell out Inc. That's 281-332-6224.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 418 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go to Freeport and check in with Captain Jeff Naylor this morning. Naylor, what's up, man?
What's up, Captain McGee? How you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm here.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm ready for a day off.
I know that's right. Man, we're one hour closer right now, so just hang tight. Got kind of cool last night. I'm up. I'm here in Boulder City this morning. The wife drove me up here to
Boulder City.
Watch a look at Boulder City.
Oh, yeah. Boulder.
Boulder City, Shreveport, Shreveport, Louisiana. This morning, but we wasn't much of a forecast leading up to this weekend. So the weather window that a lot of those folks got to run this weekend, we didn't catch in time, so it is what it is. We're up here enjoying a little concert, but hey, a lot of people did get to go fishing, and kind of wish I did, but it's what it is.
I saw a video. Sharky and them had a swordfish on yesterday, but I don't know whether they ever landed it or not. Everybody taking turns winching on it.
Yeah, he told me that they lost it. They lost it right by the boat. Man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's brutal. Brutal. He told me, when I talked to him yesterday, he told me it was 3 hours plus.
That was a fish of a lifetime.
Yeah.
When I saw the video, they'd already had it on for like 45 or 50 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. He said they lost it when they were taking the ball weight off the main line. It popped off.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I tell you what, those are brutal ones to do. I mean, it really is. But I tell you what, one of the first swordfish that Sharky and I ever caught on our boat was it was during Christmas time, and we fought it for almost 6 hours, and I tell you what, there was a storm brewing, on top of it all, and mm-hmm. I mean 3-4 hours into it, I had to tell you, I thought about cutting that line about 10 times, you know, and you know what I mean? I didn't care that much about it, you know, to get beat up real bad by a storm or something, but, you know, we stayed on it. So, I mean, 6 hours later, we landed that fish. So, you know, it's a toss of a coin sometimes, you know, it's probably 50-50. I mean, it's brutal when you fight anything for 3 hours and lose it, but, you know, pushing that 5-6 hour range would be even worse. But, that's just how that sword fishing goes sometimes. I mean, you know, there's just so many dynamics that are involved with the lines and the multiple weights and, you know, the way that the hook is crimped. It goes on and on and on. So, yeah. Unfortunately, this is how it works.
Yeah, that bites.
Yeah, really. He told me, he sent me a picture last night when he got home. But, they end up, they got some yellowfin tuna out of the floaters and some blackfin tuna. And then they caught some beeliners and a African pompano on the way back in. So, good healthy box would have been better with that swordfish, but that was brutal.
Yeah, that swordfish. Wonder how big that thing was.
Man, it's so hard to tell. It is. You know what?
Man, in that deep of water too, man. You hook them on the bottom like that, and it's hard to get them up.
You're right, and if those currents, you know, below the surface are fighting real hard, you know, they can shape their body. They turn it the right way. And they can just sit there and hold you like a kite in those currents. And it's so hard to pull them out. I mean, traditionally I would, circle the boat or go back to, you know, start circling one way and start dragging with their head and then turn back around and do big, huge circles the opposite direction, kind of keep trying to turn their heads and
try to get a little leverage on that fish, man.
Exactly. You might do that 3 or 4 times, that switchback, and it may help once or twice, you know, right. and not for very long. They end up getting stuck back in that position again. I actually have when you're out there and you can see those currents sometimes on your screen on the sonar, it'll pick up I've got pictures of them. Those swordfish, well, they will literally get stuck right underneath that real hard current, you know. And I got one, as a matter of fact, the one that I was just speaking of with me and Sharky, that 5-6 hour fight. So, you know, on the line going down to the swordfish, we have four or three diamond lights, you know, that are about 15 foot spaced apart until you get to the hook. And you can actually see it on my sonar. You see the three lights, you know, they're balls, and you can see the line going down. You can see the fish, and the current is, you know, you can see him just sitting right below it, and she didn't move. I mean, it's brutal. Just brutal, man. But, I mean, so to your point, though, that one there was about 250, and I've seen way bigger fish caught, you know, a lot faster, and I've seen smaller fish that take even longer. So it's so hard to really judge what, you know, how big that fish was.
It depends on the horse, man.
That's it, man.
Some come right in, some don't. It's just, I see that with trout, redfish, you know, other fish that I fish for. It just surprises you. Go, man, that fish isn't big enough to fight that hard.
Shoot.
And then you catch a big one, just reel it right in, grab it.
Yeah, exactly. You just can't, you don't ever know. I mean, it's a toss-up. I would suspect when that fish taking that long and the way he talked about it, it was probably a good one. You know, those big, big you know, in all fairness, you know, I'm certainly not as seasoned as a lot of other folks. I'm sure I don't always see things the same way. But, you know, those big, big ones, like, they'll come up, you know, you can fight them for forever, it seemed like. And you bring them all the way to the top. And they get 100 foot from the top, and then they just shoot right back down. I mean, 2,000 feet, whatever it is. I mean, you know, and they might do that four or five times, you know. And the real, real big ones. And what he was saying, it was just kind of stuck. He couldn't really inch it up very much, you know. But, yeah, it's hard to say. I would guess probably 250-ish, you know, which, yeah.
Well, no fresh swordfish steaks last night.
yeah, exactly.
Oh, heartbreaker.
It is. It sure enough is. It's yeah, I mean, that's how it works. He told me that the tuna bite was a little slower than normal as far as the yellowfin chunking and stuff. They did get a couple of small ones, but it sounds like, you know, it was kind of a shakeup all last week. The bluefin went out last week, and I think they caught two. So they've, you know, they've been kind of going out east towards some of the floaters out east off of Galveston. And they had been just, you know, killing them, but they only brought in like two or three last week. So I'm kind of curious if the yellowfin are starting to kind of move around a little bit, which is not that uncommon this time of the year.
You heard any bluefin being caught in the Gulf yet?
Man, they're having sightings of them down in Florida right now. So I would imagine the next month or so we'll start seeing a lot more of them. We're geared up. We went and spooled up another 480s last week, in which even the 80 pin that we got, the four that we got are kind of all right on the fence is what you need, but we plan to make a good run at them when they come. So we're watching them hard. I think they're like I said, in the Florida range right now. So we'll start seeing if they start catching them out of Hurricane Hole or the, you know, Venice and all that. So when I hit that spot, we'll know they're, you know, obviously here. So, yeah, I think I've been on this show for almost 4 years now. I can't even count anymore, but I think every single spring I say the same thing. I want one real bad, and I'm going to go try to get one.
I know, man. You've been wanting one so bad. You want it so bad, you'll never get him.
I'm telling you, man. I'm going to beat myself up.
That's kind of the way it works.
Yeah. So we'll see.
That would be a feat.
We'll see. Old Sharky said he put in some live baits, too, yesterday for some marlin. Didn't get any kind of showings on that. But, I mean, this time of the year, it's just, man, it's real wishy-washy. I mean, sometimes you go out there and you get four or five of them right off the bat. And, you know, sometimes it's you know, you don't even get a bite. So it's weird. But they're there. They're out cruising around somewhere, you know.
Right.
It kind of is what it is. He had a real good run, though. I mean, for the time that they left and you know, for his amount of fish and the variety they put in the box, it was a really good trip for him. So
sure it was.
I don't think that any trip out there right now is worthless. But
it looked pretty nice. You know, it was just a little bit of swell to it. It looked really, really nice.
Definitely. I've gotten very few reports yet back from the Wahoo fishing. I mean, I know that there's a couple boats that I talked to before I left. I guess they maybe went out on Friday or maybe Thursday, but they caught some smaller Wahoo, so it doesn't look like those any kind of bigger Wahoo came in as far as what I could see up to that point as far as the Wahoo tournaments or anything. That looked like a whole bunny. Whole bunch of upgrades were happening, but right now I think the leaderboard on at least the one out of Freeport is 156 pounds or something like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the name of the boat. They're, you know, they're always in it.
Yeah,
I saw it the other day, the post on it, and then I forgot the name of the boat. But another boat's right behind it, few pounds back, but they're definitely I got them a little lead working there.
Yep.
And how long does that last for?
That'll go till the end of March, so three months, January from through March. Of it.
I got you.
Yeah. And now, you know, coming into March, everybody starts to get desperate, you know, so they start. I mean, there's a lot that happens, you know. It seems like it's either won or lost in the last week. So, you know, and traditionally I feel like a lot of the bigger fish coming into March are generally caught down south. There's a, you know, a couple of those guys down in Port A and stuff are fishing these same tournaments, and it seems like they pull a big stud out, you know, right about this time of the year, a little later, you know. So
yeah, I saw somebody with a, I don't know, it looked like a 78 pounder or whatever in one of the pictures.
But, there you go.
Yep, you never know when that 119, 110, something like that pops up. That'll move you up the board.
That'll do it. That sure will. I haven't seen any 100 pounders in a couple years, so
yeah,
I've seen a few.
It'd be
in the
nice
80s,
to see some.
Yeah. You talk about pushing that board up pretty quick. That'll do it. You know, I hope. Hopefully, they're still around. You know, to be really honest, we haven't seen the 100 pounder coming in a long time. I mean, several years. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, they look
exist.
A lot bigger than they are because they're so long.
Sure. Yeah. But
just don't have the girth.
Yeah, we had Casey was gonna do the show with me this morning. He ended up doing some things. He had to deal with his wife. Couldn't come, but he did some crappie fishing last week.
He told me he said he was gonna go. How'd he do?
Yeah, you know what? He was. I got to talking with him yesterday, and then he shut me down. Wife had to. They were doing something, and said he was gonna call me back, and never did. So. I'll have a report hopefully next week, I guess.
Well, what are you doing in Bossier City? You got something going on?
Yeah, we got, Megan, we were supposed to come and watch Mescaline Bloodline at concerts. We're here for a concert. We were supposed to go watch it for Valentine's Day in Dallas or Fort Worth and didn't make it. So she told me, you know, I promised her I'd take her to Bossier City and go see this, go see her band, which is fantastic, by the way. Those guys are really awesome. Mescaline Bloodline.
Mescaline Bloodline.
Yep. That's it. So I'm literally standing in the end of the lobbyway, you know, doing her show, trying to hide behind a pillar so that the music doesn't pick up on the phone. So
that's going on right now.
Literally right now, yeah.
Good Lord.
I'm sitting. No. The concert's not. No.
Oh.
I'm just, it's at a casino.
I got you. Yeah. I was about
to say, man. My bad. No. Yeah, that happened last night.
Do some headbanging.
Yeah. No. They're,
all right. Well,
I'm just.
You said you couldn't talk long this morning.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it.
Well, I'll see if I can get somebody else up on the horn for the rest of the hour. But, well, Jeff, if somebody wants to get with you and go fishing offshore, how do they get a hold of you, man?
Yeah, you can hold me at 979-417-1013 or go to our website, stsladventure.com.
All right, buddy. Well, sounds good. Y'all have a fun time in Bossier.
All right.
Get
thanks,
on with
Mickey.
It.
I appreciate it.
All right,
it.
Man. See you, Jeff. All right, that's Jeff Naylor. All right, well, I'll tell you what, for the remainder of this hour, we can open the lines up. Somebody wants to give us a call if anybody's up and at them early this morning, like to weigh in this morning. We'd love to hear from you. Just give us a call at 713-572-4610. That's 713-572-4610. And I need to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. Real easy to find, located right in downtown Belleville. They're just a short drive from Sealy off I-10 or Hempstead off 290. Go downtown, look for the big white sign, and you'll find their meat market and processing facility right next door to one another. Check out their smoked sausage samples. They're available daily in the store. They have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that 7 days a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And if you're looking for bulk pricing, that's available on fresh ground beef and all of their pecan smoked sausage products. And check out their bone-in center-cut pork chops, $2.99 a pound, a limit of 10 pounds per customer. And their wild game processing, it never closes. It's open year-round. Check out their new sausage recipe available. It's really good. You got to try it. While you're at it, get you some deer tamales made, venison hot dogs. Your family will love that you did. The Belleville celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. All right. If you care to call in, we've got some open lines till the top of the hour because Jeff had to cut it short this morning. So if you want to weigh in, got something you want to talk about, give us a call up here. We'd love to hear from you. 713-572-4610. That's 713-572-4610. So, it's a Sunday morning. Now, looking at the weather yesterday, a lot of folks I know that went, it was a little slower. A lot of smaller fish caught yesterday, you know, up this way on the upper coast. I know down south in that Saltwater Legends tournament, it looked a little slower as far as guys getting their, everybody getting a fish apiece. The way I was watching the leaderboard throughout the day, the way Chad posted up on Facebook, and Wyatt Foster and his crew ended up hanging on to win. They were a little slower. It looks like around somewhere after 2 o'clock, he caught a big one, a high seven, and that secured it for him. His two partners already had their two big fish weighed, and he caught one the way it looks, and plus they got their big red. They won overall trout stringer and overall stringer, you know, with the red included. So I think they won around 67,000 in that one. And I did hear through the grapevine that Tommy Alexander won one of the hours with a big seven-something pound bass yesterday in that big bass tournament up at Conroe. So that that's good. One of our guys, one of the good guys. And somebody just texted me, Captain Zach is trying to call. Did you get him? Okay, I see him on the screen now. He just popped up. Well, that's good. Let's go to him and see what he's up to. Zach, good morning. What's up?
What you say, Captain Mick?
Not a lot. What are you doing?
My wife, my beautiful young bride, and I are on our way to T-Bay and your backyard to run a trip this morning. And we got some customers, and it's a father and three young children, and we're going to try to put them on a trout or two.
Well, hopefully you do. They were kind of small yesterday.
Sir, how have you been?
Oh, I've been good.
Really?
Yeah, I'm still kicking.
Yes, sir.
Hadn't been fishing a lot.
Job is a prison, isn't it?
No,
well,
not
like me, but maybe not yours, but me, mine is.
hey, I spent about 45 years of chasing them trout around hard and heavy every day, and it I don't miss that 7 days a week of it, I can tell you that. But it was a good ride.
Yes, sir. You know, you're right on the small. There's really nothing to talk about. We have a 21 and a 23 every once in a while that we'll tag and release, and with tagging Trout Texas, and
right,
just average size fish, but the water's getting good. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's getting good on one end. The other end's pretty bad. I noticed that fresh water was coming all the way down the west shoreline past my house this week, you know, where they opened the river up.
Yes, sir.
There's been a lot of water running down to Trinity. That's a typical spring pattern for us here the last 8 or 10 years. But
yes, sir.
I think Eddie Tucker finally caught some fish yesterday. He had to move around a lot of little fish everywhere, and then he finally found some that were, you know, slots, 15 to 20s, you know, solid keepers, as we call them nowadays.
Yeah, the donkeys are 20 and 1/8 now, man. That's something else.
Oh, the redfish? Oh, you mean the specks? Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, sir. It's crazy. You call that
those used to be bird trout in our bay, man.
Yes, sir.
That's what we used to catch on the bird, is 20 to 25s.
Yes, sir. We had a double yesterday, and they did good. Our second trip was a all lure trip, Captain Mick, and those guys did good. We fished deep and in current, and both trips they were able to do what they needed to do. So we're grateful to God about that. And the water, the weather yesterday. I feel bad for you because you're stuck at work up there at the studio, and it was just so beautiful, so flat and calm. Just a beautiful day to be out there and experience it.
Yeah, nice. And this week looks like I'm going to get rained out on Tuesday and blown out on Wednesday. So, hey, that's part of the game. I knew that when I took this.
Yes.
But I enjoy this. I mean, hey, if I'd never caught another trout, well, let me rephrase that. I still like catching trout. But, I mean, you know, I've had fun. I've caught my fair share of them.
Well, that, and you kind of get the best, I guess, of that world being downtown this early in the morning. You don't have to get beat up by all the crazy people going to work and the traffic and everything like that. You don't experience that, do you?
Not anymore. Not that I have my own studio. I don't have to go downtown anymore.
Awesome. You know, so it's kind of serendipitous. I called in, it was probably more than 10 years ago. Had to be maybe 14 years. And we were talking about crappie on Lake Houston, and you had said, man, you're putting a Zac Attack on them. And I'd have never thought that, you know, over a decade later that we'd open a fishing charter called Zac Attack. It stuck, Captain Mick.
How about that?
Yes, sir. It's just.
Where do you run out of, Zach? You mostly run out of Thompson's or what?
Yes, sir. We like to stay at Thompson's until we get blowed out, and then we go all over. We'll go out to hell. Heck, last year we were driving an hour and a half to launch at Bridge Bay in Freeport just to stay relevant with content. And it was waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, driving down there, running a trip or two, and then coming back. But you got to run trips, and when it got all blowed out and all the dead oysters, and I sure hope that doesn't happen again. It wasn't good for us.
No, it's we still got a lot of habitat. Well, we lost over 80% of our oyster beds, live ones, in this bay system. I've been around a long time, Zach, and I've never seen a run like that of fresh water. You know, we've had our floods. I remember we had one in 89 where we were all fishing. I mean, you fished West Bay, or you had a clear strip over at Dollar, or a clear strip on the south shoreline of East Bay to fish, and everything else just liquid mud fresh. And, you know, and naturally, you know, we recovered from that. It was no big deal. It just that one time, one big push, and then it came back. But, man, what we've experienced since 2015, it's pretty incredible, almost 10 years. And now we get a little bit of fresh water, and, man, you get you get in panic mode thinking, oh, man, they're fixed to turn it loose. You know, people didn't realize how much fresh water we got last year, you know, when the Livingston Dam broke a record for the biggest discharge, 130-something
thousand. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And it really wasn't a, you know, big hurricane, or it just rained, just a lot of rain up north, and just crazy.
Right. And then we pulled Burl, you know, in the summer, early hurricane, too, and which that brought a lot of salinity back. That helped a lot. But I don't know, man. It just, Galveston Bay is a tough animal to make a living in. I've been doing it all my life, and it, you got your ups and downs. You just, it's a little roller coaster fishing. Just gotta move around. I can't even count how many times I pulled from Trinity Bay all the way around the back weights and put in over at Stingery, you know, to fish East Bay when it was windy. Couldn't make the run from there. So you just pulled around every day, day in and day out. It's not an easy life by any means. But it's
there's
fun.
A lot of people out there that, yes, sir. There's a lot of people out there that look up to you, Captain Mickey, and I'm definitely one of them. I've been listening to you a long time and really enjoy you putting on this show and listening
well,
to everybody talk and share their experience. And that's just awesome.
You're
a legend, man.
No, there ain't no such thing.
Yeah, you are.
Maybe John Wayne or somebody like that, or Roger Staubach or somebody, but no, man. It's just, hey, we're just all fishermen. It's all good.
Yes, sir.
Good community, good people. I met a lot of fine people in my lifetime due to fishing and hunting. Everybody together, it's been a lot of fun. But it's
yes, sir. I got to meet Blaine one day. My wife and I got to meet Blaine Friermuth Thompson.
Oh man,
yes, sir.
Fourth grade.
That's awesome. He puts his boat in and he just walks in and gets his bait and his boat floats over the dock. I'm like, man, that's pretty slick. He's like, yeah, if you catch it on the right wind,
we call that cop stopping it, slamming on a brake and just sliding off the trailer and driving off and parking and let the wind blow it back to the dock.
It's awesome, but you guys are awesome.
We just done it so long, it's just second nature. I cleaned up my boat yesterday to get it ready for this
week, Heather,
so I can leave it in the driveway again, not go fishing. What kind of boat do you run, Zach?
Haney 23 Bigfoot with a 300 Suzuki on it.
That's a good boat, man.
It is. It's a tank, and you know I could cut her to the left with two big corn fed guys on it, and get up in the shallow and then you know cut the waves, and it's just we're really happy with the boat. We're about to invest in one of those new Scooter Cats, and it's a new boat line coming up, and they're really nice boats. They're very good on the water, very good in chop. In fact, me and my buddy Corey Hughes, we were in a tournament, and C.J. Hutchinson was with the owner of Scooter.
Yeah.
And they flew by us, Captain Mick. I mean, they flew by us at about 60 with a 30-mile-an-hour headwind, and it looked like they were going 70 in 3 foot of waves, and I mean, just slippery and snot and cutting right through them waves.
I've never been in one of those.
I had it on the dash, Captain Mick, because I was trying to race them, and it wasn't happening. They blew
no
us
contest.
Out. I mean, it was tournament time, so let's get back, you know, and all we did is watch them go off in the sunset, and we looked at each other and said, man, we got to get us one of those. That was pretty sweet.
Hey, all it takes is money, man.
That's it. You know, Heather and I are looking at a place down by your way, on Tri-City Beach Road at Barn Dominium. We're going to relocate from Lake Houston to Baytown this year, and looking hard at that. So,
is that where you live, up by Lake Houston?
Yes, sir. We live on Lake Houston. We also do white bass trips on Lake Houston.
Right.
And we've been doing those for a number of years now in the community and do a lot with the community. And so it's fun. It's all lure. It's just fast and furious.
Awesome. Well, that reminds me of James when Plog started first started fishing with me back in the day when he was just a, man, he was 19, 20 years old, just a punk kid, man. He started running trips for me and Blaine, and we were all fishing together, and he'd drive from Humble every morning down to Trinity Bay, pull his boat. Said, James, just leave it at my house. You don't have to drag that far. No, man, I got it. No big deal. He'd drag that whaler every day from Humble to Baytown. Those were the days. Anyway, well, Zach, I know you do freshwater and saltwater. Zach Attack. What do you call your charters? Zach Attack charters or what?
Zach Attack fishing.
Zach Attack fishing. That'll work, man. Nothing like a
yes,
Zach
sir.
Attack. Well, hey, if somebody wants to call you about fishing freshwater or saltwater, throw them a number out, man.
Catch me at 281-770-2747. Check out Facebook, Instagram. We're all over the place.
All right, buddy.
Thank you for the opportunity, Captain Nick.
Hey, you bet, Zach. Y'all have good luck today. Catch them up, man.
Thank you, sir.
See you. All right. All right, it's 4:55 here in the Bayou City. We're going to take our top of the hour break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.